Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Welcome back to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Mailbag. Today we are here with Davis Maddock, the great Davis Maddock, who's going to give you all of the insight into how to win those Week 7 fantasy football matchups. I'm your host, Mike Randall. You can follow me on Twitter at Randall Rant. Davis is on Twitter at Davis Maddock. We have had him on the RotoViz Mailbag before. He does an excellent job. He covers everything, seasonal, dynasty, DFS, and he's dropped by the mailbag for a few minutes here to give us some insight into Week 7. We are almost past the one-third point of the season, but almost at the halfway point. Mr. Maddock, welcome into the mailbag. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, we are heading into the bi-nado, probably the worst. It's got to be the worst week of buys I can ever remember in fantasy football history, just the way that they got all lumped up here. But you know, we are going to persevere. We're sticking through it.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. You have those buys coming up this week, and then you have some odd scheduling changes where like teams will play back to back in consecutive weeks. So some odd things coming up here with the schedule. But I want to start with you, sir. I mean, you've been killing it for years. Swolecast, Takecast, Sports Grid. Tell us all the great things you're doing, how the year's been going on so far. It's great, Davis, to have a regular year after struggling through the COVID challenges of last year.
Yeah. They can listen to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. That's every day during the week. They can listen to the Takecast. That is once a week, normally comes out on Wednesdays. And then they can head on over to dailyroto.com and get the projections and the optimizers there.
Excellent. And let's just dive right into it here. Given what has happened in the last couple of weeks with injuries to running backs, Christian McCaffrey was banged up. Then he comes back. He said he's going to return. Now he's on IR. Nick Chubb was out. Kareem Hunt now out. Was zero RB the right seasonal strategy yet again?
Yeah, you know, of course it was. And we have the mid-round wide receivers absolutely crushing, like always. You know, Cooper Kupp, third, fourth round, Deebo Samuel, fourth, fifth round, Jamar Chase, fifth, sixth round, depending on when you're drafting. Like, it was just, I was even more of a hero RB guy, where I was taking running backs in the first round a lot. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, even you know, your Jonathan Taylors and your Saquon Barkleys. And that to me is actually what looks like really the only viable fantasy strategy. Now, of course, you know, there were ways you could be stringing it together, right? You know, we've had Peyton Barber's pop up and Ramondre Stevenson's and Kenyon Drake's. And like there have been, you know, we're going to have Dearness Johnson and Demetric Felton this week as options. But I do think the optimal way to draft your teams at this stage is one running back in the first two rounds and then just pound wide receivers for like 8 rounds after that.
I was in a seasonal league where I had the first overall pick. Obviously, I took McCaffrey, PPR, no shock there. And my plan was to go hero RB. And when I came back to the wraparound, I saw Antonio Gibson sitting there. And I felt like, Davis, in this draft, this was a critical juncture. I could sense it as the clock was counting down. Do I stick with my plan or do I grab a running back who I think is going to have a big year? That leads us into my next question of panic, no panic. Antonio Gibson, what are your thoughts on him rest of season? Because certainly he hasn't gotten off to a great start, and this every other week JD McKissick RB1 is causing just enough trouble here that I think people are starting to worry. Let's do panic, no panic. Start off with Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be panicked on him because the third down roll is just not going to happen. Well, JD McKissick is on the roster. Maybe it will happen next week. Or next season rather, but it's not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen right now. And that is the way that it goes. And also another assumption people were making was that Washington was going to be good, and they're not, they're terrible. So mm-hmm. if you are mostly a two down back on a terrible team, it doesn't mean that he's never going to get there. You know, that he'll never have good games because he is so talented and he was able to do it on a bad team last year, but he is not going to pay off his draft costs at all.
Next up in Pittsburgh, you know, we all joke about Ben Roethlisberger, but he still has a ton of weapons. And Chase Claypool has not gotten it off to the start anywhere near his efficiency from last year. Some of that is Najee Harris, who's taking a lot of looks near the goal line, but now he's still struggling. Juju is out. You would think that he would be able to come on here, but so far, it has not been a great year for Chase Claypool. His season, wide receiver 61, wide receiver 50, wide receiver 16, wide receiver 12 last week, or against Denver, rather. This week wasn't great as well. Panic, no panic, Chase Claypool.
I mean, I'm a little panicked just from because Ben actually looks even worse than I thought.
Yes.
But it should probably even out. You know, I believe Pat Freiermuth had 7 targets last week. My guess would be that Claypool is going to earn a larger target share than, you know, Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth and stuff like that moving forward. But maybe not. But I mean, Claypool is probably going to end up being a semi-draft bust just because there's not going to be that many passing touchdowns available in this offense, even with Juju injured, because Juju injured, it actually kind of, it hurts their offense as a whole, right? Because he is a good stick mover.
Next, Keenan Allen. The great paradox that is Keenan Allen. Coming into this week, Davis, Keenan Allen was third in targets, 53. First in red zone targets, 10. Yet 20th in fantasy points per game. With Mike Williams' development, even in a high passing offense, panic, no panic, Keenan Allen.
No. I mean, the thing with Keenan is he's unlikely in general to be a touchdown producer because he's never really been a touchdown producer. But he will get, you know, his 95 receptions, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he'll basically be the guy that you drafted. You know, he'll end up being fine, I think, especially because Herbert, you know, looks so good.
And last one. If you took Darren Waller early, you were taking him because you expected elite tight end production. He's been okay, overall tight end 6, but got off to a flying start with that great opening first game against Baltimore where he had 19 targets, 10 receptions, overall tight end 2. But last few weeks has not been great. You can't afford to continue to have mediocre performances from a player that in traditional leagues you just start one of at the tight end position. Darren Waller, panic, no panic.
Not panicked moving forward, but I am like very annoyed by the results that he's gotten, right? So because he only has like the 1 week with the target explosion. And I can't make any sense of what the Raiders are ever doing. Like, why are Ruggs and Waller not getting, you know, 20 combined targets every single week? It feels like it's kind of like a Derek Carr thing. Like, he would do this with Amari, where Amari would just go the, like, 3-game stretches where he saw, like, 11 combined targets. But I'm not panicked about Waller. I mean, it feels like, you know, the snaps are still there, the routes are still there, so eventually the targets are going to get there.
I love when the guest names the podcast Darren Waller Annoyance, Davis. Very well done. Let's take a look at the Thursday night game. We're recording this on Tuesday. Really interesting matchup between Denver and Cleveland. Baker is getting a second opinion on his injury, which is never good. I feel like it means that they don't like the first opinion. Hunt is out. Chubb is trending to come back. Odell Beckham has not been effective. On the other side, Denver, after getting off to a flying start, has struggled here. I don't know if Jerry Jeudy is back. I don't know if he's coming back this week or possibly next week, but they also are going in the wrong direction here. Denver at Cleveland, a compelling matchup. How do you see this on Thursday Night Football?
Well, so the most recent thing that I read is that Baker Mayfield is maybe considering taking some time off because of this shoulder injury. So if we get into Thursday night and it's the Cleveland Browns with is Case Keenum still their backup quarterback?
I think it is. Yes, I think yeah.
So honestly, that's actually not the worst, right? Case Keenum coming in as your backup quarterback is it is Case Keenum. So that's not the worst. But I just think that's going to be an awful game. Jerry Jeudy is not expected to be back for that game. Nick Chubb not going to play in this game. Kareem Hunt not going to play in this game. I mean, I think that we just get both teams probably trying to give at least 15 carries to, you know, I think we see Demetric Felton get his first running back snaps in the NFL. I think we see lots of Melvin Gordon, lots of Javonte Williams. This is kind of your classic. You don't have to watch it on a Thursday night game.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So you've mentioned a lot of the waiver pickups that people are going to set tonight. Obviously, this will drop on Thursday. Who do you think that people should be excited about if they can get off the waiver wire? You know, it's thinning out a little bit, Davis, but there still is opportunity, especially at the running back position. The one I'll mention here is Kenyon Drake. I feel with the coaching change with Gruden out, I felt like he was completely underutilized and maybe have some hope if people wanted to add him as a flex running back moving forward. But who are some running backs or players in general that you think the Week 7 waiver wire, they should have paid attention to and picked up?
So I think that it is interesting to see what happens with this Browns backfield because, you know, Demetric Felton would be, if they played him in the Kareem Hunt role, he would be pretty valuable, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, Dearness Johnson, if they played him on third downs, despite the fact that I think he ran a 4.86 40. You're right, though. It is just really thinning out on the waiver wire. Like, and especially this week, the waiver wire is going to be absolutely full. Like you are really going to have to be competing against people this week on the waiver wire because of all of the buys. I guess I would say, you know, if Rashad Bateman is out there still, you know, probably in most competitive leagues he is owned, but I would be interested in Bateman. I'd be interested in Donovan Peoples-Jones. But yeah, you're right though. It is really, it's like great. Well, I can't even believe I'm saying this. Devonta Freeman, to me, looked like the best of the Ravens running backs last week. Yep. He looked better than Le'Veon. He looked better than Latavius. You know, we saw Mark Ingram basically post a fantasy MVP season at the same at an older age, actually, than Devonta Freeman is. And it's not like anyone – it's not like Mark Ingram was a spectacularly talented player that year. So, you know, you could probably do worse than Devonta Freeman, which I can't believe I'm saying.
I can't either, but it's very true. We used to have a question about salt or no salt on the margarita, but Eric Moody gave us some huge breakdown on why you have to have salt and the physics behind it. So we buried that question and moved on to favorite type of morning juice, cranberry, orange, grapefruit, or Sean Siegel's favorite, pineapple.
I am a grapefruit guy in general. I love grapefruit, but I don't have anything with sugar in it until noon. Nothing with any sugar or carbohydrates until noon.
Which NFL team, Davis, right now is overvalued that you think the public is too high on, that you think is going to have some trouble here over the next couple of weeks? I thought it was going to be Arizona against Cleveland, but they showed up big even without a lot of their coaches because of COVID. Do you have an overvalued NFL team right now?
Well, the Raiders are 4-2. So they're definitely not a 4-2 team. I hate to say this, but I think that we have gotten a little bit over our skis with the Los Angeles Chargers as well. You know, I think the offensive line is a problem. And basically, before that Ravens game, people were talking about the Chargers like, oh yeah, they're going to be the AFC team in the Super Bowl. Like, they're better than the Chiefs. They're better than the Bills. They're better than the Ravens. And if I was ranking them, I would have them as the fourth best team in the AFC.
Yeah, and you know, the Chiefs, everybody says this, they're struggling. I get that. They've played the Chargers, they've played the Browns, they've played the Ravens, they've played the Bills. That's not exactly the easiest run of teams here, so they're going to get some positive regression with their schedule. What about an undervalued team? Some of the sort of laying in the weeds here that you think can go on a run.
So this is a weird one, but I actually think I think the Cowboys are undervalued. I think people are not like if you were watching ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever, they'd be talking about how, like, you know, they in a weird way, the mass media actually gets that one right. But in our circles, right? So, like, you know, on Twitter and in the Discords and everything, I think people are rightly think that the Rams and the Buccaneers are the two best teams in the NFC. And they are. But the Cowboys could totally beat either of those teams on the road or at home or on a neutral field. Like, their defense is way better than anticipated, and they have the best offense in the NFL. They're best at yards per play. They have a very good offensive line. They can run the ball. They have this hyper-efficient passing offense, despite the fact that Michael Gallup has played like 34 snaps on the year. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back. I definitely think people are kind of sleeping on the Cowboys from a real football perspective.
Yeah, 5-1 with a 2-point loss on the road at Tampa Bay with a field goal at the last second there. Week one, otherwise they'd be undefeated going into their bye this week. Dynasty question for you, Davis. What do we do with Saquon Barkley, and where would you put him versus Najee Harris, who is collecting just massive volume in this Pittsburgh offense? I mean, sure, their offensive line has struggled, and he may not have been efficient to start the year, but he is just so invaluable in that offensive attack. He's trusted by Ben. Ben is not mobile, just killing it across the board. So I'm curious, Najee versus Saquon as a dynasty ranking, and what do you think people should do with Saquon moving forward?
They should trade him, right? Well, it depends on, like, if you have a good team, if your team is ready to compete this year, I actually think you could maybe even view Saquon as kind of like a buy. Like, look, if I have a team that's ready to compete this year and I'm struggling at running back, maybe I trade a first for Saquon, right? Maybe a kind of a bad first and a Michael Pittman tier wide receiver or something like that. That sounds fair. But I would definitely rather have Najee, like 100%. I would rather have Najee. And their problems are really similar. Neither of them have a quarterback. We don't really know who's going to be the quarterback of the Giants next year. We don't know who's going to be the quarterback of the Steelers. Saquon has these terrible coaches, and he has much more of an injury history than Najee does at this point as well.
With running backs, because of course we're all on the fact that the running back shelf life is short. When would you look, assuming that Najee continues on the path that he's on, in Dynasty, when would you look to trade him? Is there like a certain year or time period in which you say, you know, We've had a good run here. Now, because of the running back fragility and what the way the NFL is right now, maybe I would look to trade him. Do you have a shelf life on running backs like him, or do you just say, look, he's a rookie, he's killing it, I'll keep him until I start seeing signs of decay?
I would keep him as long as I had a competitive team that could use his points. Okay. is kind of how I think of it. So like if I just took Najee and most of the leagues I play in are like super flex. Yep. So Najee was kind of like the 105, 106, or a lot of times he would go after Pitts. He would go after Chase and he would go after Lance, Fields, Lawrence. So there's like a pretty good chance if you were taking him at the 106 or whatever, you had a good team and you added Najee to a decent team. You know, and his points are counting for your lineup every single week. Like, yeah, just run with him at this point and reevaluate things in the future. But he's not the type of guy I'd be looking to move off of.
Great question I got here on Twitter. It's harder than people think. Davis, who's the number one dynasty wide receiver right now? Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase. Is it still Devontae? Where are you going? Number one dynasty wide receiver.
My head answer is Ja'Marr Chase has got to be the number one. My heart answer is that CD has got to be the number one. And I, the reason why you can justify it is, you know, all due respect to Joe Burrow, but CD has the better situation. He's got the better offensive coordinator, better quarterback, better offensive line, better organization as a whole. It's not going to surprise anyone to see the Bengals, you know, kind of mess up this great young core that they have. So to me, it's a total coin flip between those two. I think if AJ Brown has 8 receptions, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns against the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that everyone will forget, you know, the last 4 weeks and be like, yeah, AJ Brown, dynasty wide receiver 1. I also think Metcalf deserves to be in the conversation if we expect Russell Wilson to be back with the Seahawks.
I had a phenomenally timed tweet on Sunday basically saying, where is CeeDee Lamb in this offense? Right before he literally, Davis, 2 minutes before he scores the touchdown, and then he goes bonkers in the fourth quarter. So it was put all over old takes exposed. But hey, if I can help out people who have CeeDee Lamb on their team, so be it. I have no problem with that. Is James Robinson this year's James Robinson?
No, because he got pretty expensive at the end of draft season. Let's see here. 2021 running back scoring for fantasy. I bet there is someone who is going to end up being, Cordarrelle Patterson is this year's James.
Ah,
Robinson,
okay.
Right. That's the guy. That's the guy who is the answer. Also Leonard Fournette kind of in that vein as well. But I mean, both of those guys are veterans, but both of them, you know, well outside the top 100, even top 50, and are going to be, you know, fantasy MVPs.
2021 is just a fantastic season when a first round pick from 8 years ago at the age of 30 can be this year's breakout running back when he was originally a wide receiver. That is just spectacular.
Yeah.
San Francisco confusion. I keep bringing this up because as per Warren Sharp's preview, the 49ers have a fantastic end-of-season schedule. He identified it in the summer. We've talked about it on this mailbag several times. But I just think there's general confusion on where the fantasy value is. Everyone wants Trey Lance, especially from a fantasy perspective. But I think they're sticking with Jimmy G. I don't think Lance has enough experience nor comfortability in the offense for them to make a playoff push, which is what they think can happen, whether it can or not. Who is the starting running back for them rest of season? Is it Jeff Wilson, who'll come off of IR soon? Kittle, Ayuk, Debo's Yak. Let's just go one by one. First off, quarterback, Jimmy G versus Lance. Is it Jimmy G's team rest of season?
No, I mean, maybe they will try to get back to him, but I also think that they're going to get pushed in a direction they don't want to go because the Cardinals are so good and the Rams are so good. Mm-hmm. So I think that the idea that they were going to kind of coast to like an 11-win season and make it as the second wild card, that's not going to work out for them. They're going to have to do better than that. And probably it's actually going to end up happening that they're just not going to end up being that good. And so I think that moves the Lance timeline ahead. You know, if they're a 500 team, I mean, you got to get Lance some live reps. The big problem with Lance is that he before that start against the Cardinals, he had not played a competitive game for 18 months, and he's 22 years old. So you got to play him. So I think that Jimmy probably starts if he's healthy, but I don't know how much longer that lasts.
Who's the running back to own for those that are looking to target this backfield as we get Mitchell. To the fantasy playoffs?
It's Mitchell. Wilson, it's October 19th, and I was just doing some Googling. Wilson has not even resumed running yet. And Trey Sermon played one snap in that game against the Cardinals. It's clearly Elijah Mitchell is clearly the lead guy there, in my opinion. Hasty, I also believe, is about to be removed off of the short-term IR. And so if you've forgotten about him, he might actually be like a good little $1 ad this week, because I think he'll probably play third downs.
George Kittle, we concerned yet?
I'm not concerned about like George Kittle's role or the routes or the targets or anything. What I am concerned about is that regardless of who the quarterback is, whether it's Jimmy or whether it's Lance, they're just going to run so much that they might average like 27 passing attempts per game, which is pretty bad for Kittle.
Brandon Ayuk. I mean, we had a lot of high expectations. He was I remember in flex leagues last year, he was a late round pick, like a 9 or 10 round pick, and he had a great year. This year struggled, doghouse with Kyle Shanahan. Brandon Ayuk, thoughts?
I hope that they figure it out during the bye. Like, I hope whatever, effort issues, discipline issues, whatever the personal disagreements between Ayuk and the coaching staff were, I hope they got it worked out. But if we come back from the bye week and Trent Sherfield and Mohamed Sanu and Juwan Jennings are earning snaps and targets over him, then I will be – I think he is – borderline cuttable now, but would definitely be cuttable if that happens after the bye week.
My favorite question of the show, think of a player that you flag planted on Davis in the off season. And let's say that player's had sort of a mediocre or poor start. Can you explain why it will continue? So for example, if you were wrong about a player, what is the path that you would continue to be wrong about?
I mean, some of the guys that I was wrongest about are the guys who are absolutely crushing, which is Derrick Henry, who is like going to be the MVP among. I mean, he is the best player in fantasy, like by so far. It's not even close. You know, at this point, mm-hmm. he has 154 points at the running back position. Austin Eckler is number two with 101. You know, that's in standard. In PPR, he has 170. Eckler has 128. No one else is even close. Leonard Fournette, also very similar. He has 97 points, 16.3 per game. You know, and basically he has both sent Rojo to the bench. Remember Rojo fumbles in week one. We never see him again, basically. But he has also been a huge part of the passing game, and we thought that that was not going to happen. We basically thought Giovanni Bernard was signed in Tampa Bay to be James White, and really he's just playing the same kind of role that like LeSean McCoy and Kenyon Barner and Keyshawn Vaughn did, where he basically just comes in to block. Giovanni Bernard had one good game, but you know, Len is going to play 65-70% of the snaps at running back for the Buccaneers.
Gotta love Lenny. DFS plays, sir. Let's go around each position. Somebody here, as we're looking at them early week seven, that you think can pop. Start a quarterback.
Stafford to me. He gets the revenge game as a
double revenge game. Yeah. Jared Goff and
yeah, double revenge game. So I think that, you know, a huge portion of the attention is going to obviously go Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, great spot for Lamar Jackson, an underpriced Jalen Hurts on both FanDuel and DraftKings. But I think they're just going to, like, McVay kind of cares about this stuff, like the narrative type stuff. And so I think they just let Stafford go nuts against Detroit.
I'm very glad that Denver is on the Thursday slate, so I cannot continue to play Javonte Williams waiting for his breakout in Denver. Do you have a running back here, DFS play for his week seven?
Yeah, sneaky-ish one. Chuba Hubbard has basically, he's not played the full Christian McCaffrey role, but they removed Rodney Smith from the active roster, even with Christian McCaffrey on the IR. So the last couple weeks, Chuba Hubbard has played about 65-70% of the snaps. He has 40 rushes the last 2 weeks, and he has 9 targets the last 2 weeks, including a 1 yard rushing touchdown. Those 1 yard rushing touchdowns, a huge part of what gets us there in fantasy with these guys. So I think he will be under owned against, you know, just this awful, awful Giants team.
It's very hard to play, you know, that recency bias is strong in DFS players. It's very hard to take a leap for a wide receiver, which is a position where you often pay up when someone has not performed recently, i.e. Adam Thielen entering week six, who killed it. Thoughts here on wide receiver for DFS week seven?
Yeah, and there is no shortage of high-priced guys, right? I mean, we have Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, DJ Moore, all of these guys in there. I am going to go with exactly what you said, though. There's no way that I can pass up on some A.J. Brown at 6,300 at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I hope that he is not one of those sneaky plays that ends up becoming unsneaky, but I really want to play A.J. Brown against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, first half, I was taking victory laps on my under 5.5 receptions last night. Then Julio goes out injured, and A.J. Brown goes bananas. So it looks like he's trending in the right direction. Final position, often the hardest one, tight end.
It's got to be Ricky Seals-Jones, right? Yes. Ricky Seals-Jones, assuming that Logan Thomas doesn't come back. And then also, Tommy Tremble played 51% of the snaps last week for the Carolina Panthers, running a ton of routes. You know, they basically have stopped targeting Terrace Marshall. And Darnold has also been awful. But if you're looking for a true punt, Tommy Tremble fits that definition.
What was your favorite video game growing up?
Just it was Madden, right? The Madden on the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and the NCAA football games as well. I was never a GoldenEye, you know, Call of Duty, Halo. Never played the first person shooters.
Yeah. Say with me. Totally agree. Michael Thomas should be back here for New Orleans. What is he going to do to that offense? And what can fantasy players expect from Thomas on his return here with Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to do anything. And I don't really think Jameis is going to do anything. You know, the New Orleans Saints, I think smartly, have just decided that they are not really that interested in passing the ball. They are 3-2. They have an outside chance of making the playoffs. They will have to. So one NFC West team is going to be a wild card team, and maybe two, but it's kind of the Saints, 49ers, Bears, Vikings all competing there. And, you know, they're just really not that interested in airing the football out because the way that they're playing right now is working. I think Jameis has more games. It's like 80% of his games, they have under 22 passing attempts, and they are dead last in the NFL in passing attempts with 120. It's crazy how little they've been passing the ball.
If you weren't working and could not work in anything sports related, what job would you have?
Hopefully, I've never really had to think about it. I probably would just be a teacher. I got a degree in English, so I'd probably just be a high school English teacher. Honestly, it's probably what my most likely job would have been.
Excellent. Absolutely. With some great projects related to fantasy, of course.
Of course.
I'm trying, Davis, to get Survivor, Fantasy Football Survivor, or Fantasy Football Fear Factor going for our top guys like yourself. If you get on Fear Factor, what's the one thing that would cause you to say, you know what, guys, I'm not doing this?
Okay, what were the cash prizes related with Fear? Like, how much money are we talking here?
I guess I'm going to say we're talking $500,000. How about that?
So, like, I am definitely extremely financially motivated with those things. So, like, $500,000, I'm down to, you know, like, eat tarantulas or, like, you know, great. Whatever. But I am, like, you know, everyone is afraid of heights. You know, this is actually just true about humans. You cannot train the vertigo impulse out of humans. So, like, something like walking on a tightrope or jumping out of an airplane, cliff diving, you know, the cliff diving thing where they put like the wings on people and they literally will jump off of, I would not do any of those things. Like 0%. I am super, super afraid of heights.
Got it. I've had some interesting ones. People don't want snakes. Buried alive was one that we heard. Neil Dutton said he doesn't want to jump over things in a high spot because he has weak ankles. So that, again, that fear of heights is really 100%.
Any of those I would do. Like I would do that for $500,000 for sure.
Rest of season lightning round. PPR leagues, who do you want rest of season? First quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's starting to get it together here and clicking, or Aaron Rodgers, of course, with super efficiency and the connection with Devontae Adams?
Joe Burrow. Yeah, I think it's more likely that Burrow passes more often than they stay super ground heavy.
Two guys that I really like here preseason, Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds. Edmonds has been vultured by Connor, and Javonte can't get rid of the splinter that is Melvin Gordon. Who do you like rest of season, Williams or Edmonds?
Edmonds, yeah. Edmonds, just very, very safe PPR value guy.
Two guys that have been disappointed at wide receiver. Tyler Lockett had a big week one, has been struggling since. Or Calvin Ridley, who should have been killing it, the guy that I was definitely wrong on, and he has not yet. Lockett or Ridley, rest of season?
Ridley, for sure. I mean, Lockett is going to be playing with Geno Smith, so not yes. Great there.
And last one, tight end. Noah Fant or Dallas Goedert? I love Noah Fant, but Judy, of course, coming back at some point soon. Dallas Goedert, now the path is clear with Zach Ertz in Arizona. Who do you like better?
I definitely want Noah Fant. That one's not even. I don't even think that one's close. I think Dallas Goedert is still not going to be that fantasy relevant, even with Ertz out of town.
Davis, awesome stuff as always, man. Last question, then we will get you out of here. Give me a bold take for the rest of the season, something that people can sink their teeth into. Either they have the player, maybe they can acquire them, maybe they should dump them. Give me the Davis Matic bold prediction for the rest of the 2021 fantasy football season.
Hollywood Brown finishes as a top 10 PPR wide receiver. Lamar Jackson on pace to have the most passing attempts he'll probably ever have in his career because their running backs are, you know, so terrible. And Hollywood right now is like setting the record for unrealized fantasy points at this time. But he has 43 targets. Sammy Watkins already banged up. 5 receiving touchdowns already for Hollywood Brown. Like, don't look the gift horse in the mouth. Get as much Marquise Brown as you can.
Yeah, remember when people said Lamar Jackson can't pass? That was very, very cute. Folks, Davis Matic, Swolecast, TakeCast, Sports Grid, everywhere. Best Ball, Dynasty, FFPC, one of the great fantasy football minds here on social media. Have to follow him on Twitter, at Davis Matic. Always a pleasure, sir, to have you back on the mailbag. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Always love to hop back on a good RotoViz show.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes under the Fantasy Football Mailbag, a RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, so follow us on Twitter at RotoVizRadio and at Randall Rant. Make sure you tell a friend, and don't forget to sign up for a 10% discount on our podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. It's a no-brainer, folks. Thanks for tuning in.